Grace to you and peace from God, our Savior and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dr. Clark Kerr was a rather controversial head of the University of California system, which was big, as you might imagine. And when he was fired, it was big news, so all the press went to say, and they wanted a quote. And he came up with one of the greatest lines of all time. He said, "I leave this position as I entered it, fired with enthusiasm." Think about that term, fired with enthusiasm, because for me, it's going to be key to this whole gospel lesson for today. How I think we ought to look at it, anyway. It's been looked at many ways. You've probably heard a lot of sermons. Some people have preached on this as an example of taking bad stuff and doing good with it. Some of that in there, definitely. The man does act shrewdly for the benefit of some people in the story. But I don't think we want to really lift this person up. I mean, he's an embezzler, a perjurer, major theft. You can get him for a lot of things, you know. And in those days, in Jesus' day, you know, white-collar crime wasn't a slap on the wrist like it is today, where you might get a little penalty, you might get a little bit of time. The person fired, and this is really the first sign of mercy in this story, which we're going to talk a lot more about, the master only fires him. He had the right to have him beaten, had the right to have his children sold into slavery and his goods seized to make up the debt. And if he had been Roman, he could even have the man killed for what he'd done. They had strict, they were tough on white crime in those days. You know? So this was a major offense. You know, it's not a person we really want to hold up as a role model. It could be this sermon reminds us that there is nothing new under the sun, as Ecclesiastes puts it. That all the things we read about in our papers about embezzlement and misappropriation and misuse of power are not new. The Bible took place in times when those happened, and despite them, God managed to use things in those days for good. So we have hope in our own times when we read about things in the paper that startle us, that God is not apart from the world. He's in the midst of it. He knows the truth about who we are and still manages to work with us. I've heard sermons preached about this as a way of condemning wealth, which, you know, wealth can be dangerous. We know, and the Bible teaches us, that it's real easy, the more we have, the more the things we have own us, instead of the other way around. But I think none of them is the real message of this thing. Because we're all focusing on the wrong person. We're all focusing on the manager. I think we need to focus on the owner, the rich man. Consider the fact, as I mentioned, he could have done a whole lot more to this person than he did. He actually showed mercy in just sort of dismissing him. I mean, you know, he could have said, "Well, I've got to do something to this guy, otherwise everyone will take advantage of me." But no, he merely lets him go. And not only lets him go, he doesn't make him hand his keys as he walks out the door, like happened in a lot of businesses today. He allows him to retain a certain amount of authority. But what I really want you to notice about this manager, this owner, I'm sorry, instead of the manager, is the amount of mercy and grace that he displays in the story. The person fired pretty quickly. He's pretty sharp, I'll give him credit. He pretty quickly said that the manager is kind enough not to really go after him like he could have. Then this owner must be a pretty nice person. He must be someone who cares more about showing community care for caring for people than he does about getting what's his. You know, because he had a right to all of this. Legally, he could have demanded the man's very life, or at least his property and his family as a payment against him. He could have demanded all the debtors pay up because he had the documents to hold it in mind. But what does he do? When this man does this act, he makes people very happy, doesn't he? If you owned 100 and you suddenly only owned 80, or if you had 50 and you only owned 30, you'd be happier, right? If someone walked, if you went to the store to pay your bill and they said, "I'm not 50% off," who here is going to complain? No. We'd be happy and joyful at the mercy shown to us. The good gift that we've just been given, unearned by the person we owe the money to. And that's exactly what the manager is depending on. That his owner would rather see people happy, rather see forgiveness and joy, than to get what's his. And he stakes his reputation and his life on it, literally. And it works. And it works. The best thing that happened to this manager is he got fired. Because it made him realize just how good his owner had been and how he could depend on him for mercy. Why does this matter? Because in some ways, God is like this owner. God has created the world, all that we have. We don't own nothing. Let's get down to it. When you get down to the basic truth, everything we have is a gift from God in some fashion or another. And yet God continues to forgive us when we misuse the gifts we've given, when we hoard them, when we think we're better than others, when we abuse the gifts that we've been given. God doesn't say, I'm going to get you for that. Remember Maud's old line in the 70s, God will get you for that. It's not how God acts. He comes to us, offers forgiveness and grace and mercy. He is like the owner here. He'd rather see that connection made, the people happy, that we have a relationship with him, than to get what is owed. This is what turns the manager's world upside down, and what I believe turns our world upside down, is the fact that we have a God who much more concerned not about what his rights are, or her rights are, I'm not sure you find God in any different ways, but rather that mercy and grace and kindness abound. God would rather be taken short, treated almost kind of foolish like we talked about last week, and have the people happy and joyful. I had a wedding yesterday. One of the things I preached upon is the wedding at Cana. Jesus changes a whole lot of water into wine, people, you know, like 300 gallons worth, because he valued that sense of community that gathered around the wedding feast had. The joy that people had with each other, the excitement of creating new families, of being together. But those were the priority. That's why Jesus got involved in, and why God continues to be involved in our lives, because we matter more, despite the fact that we often fall short and fail. You know, in a sense, God does fire us. He fires us by reminding us of our shortcomings. But he doesn't do it to punish us so much as to help us realize that we are here by his grace and goodness, and that we have been blessed with stuff we didn't earn. And that we are therefore given the opportunity to be as graceful, or at least somewhat graceful, to others because we've had great mercy shown to us. And when we recognize the fact that God has shown us this mercy and grace and forgiveness, despite who we can be, it fires us from the grip that possessions and jealousy and things like that have on us, and frees us up, fires us up, if you will, to then be merciful to others. Because you see, God has been fired with enthusiasm by humankind for as long as there have been humans. We've rejected what God said. We've run from him. We've done the very things God doesn't want us to do. God still comes and blesses. God still offers grace and forgiveness to us. God is more concerned about keeping that connection to us than looking good like a ruler should. You know? He's more concerned about how we are. And so he literally has been fired by the world, and yet he is still fired up with enthusiasm and passion for us, our lives, our relationships, our being. When that begins to hit people, it changes you. It changes your whole perspective on life. Is life the pursuit of things and stuff and getting ahead of people? Is that the goal? Why is it the goal when we've already been given the kingdom, God's love and mercy, and all these things that we have to use as a gift? We can get fired from that possessiveness of possessions, and be fired up to have the opportunity to share and love and forgive and grace, because it changes us and the world around us. So people laugh at the church. This stuff doesn't work, they tell you, you know? What do you, this all stuff about forgiveness and grace and love? You got to get yours. You got to do unto others before they do it unto you, is how the world defines the golden rule. But God has lived, continues to live, and always will towards us be the God who comes with the marks of the crucifixion, the marks of grace and forgiveness, the marks of love, and say, you're fired up with enthusiasm and my grace. Go share it with others. So today, let us be fired with enthusiasm. Fired away from the things that would hold us back, and fired up with grace and mercy that we've ever received, that now we can share with others. Amen.
Amen.